Sweden, 1964. Home of social democracy and the welfare state.
The largest country in Western Europe with a population not much bigger than Greater London.
Sweden, 1964, where the sun will only shine for about 100 days this year and where nothing happens.
Well, it does on the Göta Canal. July the 8th, Monday, just after 3 on a sunny afternoon. They found the young woman's corpse below the locks at Borensholt. It was fairly intact and couldn't have been lying in the water very long.
It was mere chance they found the body at all.
The channel had begun to clog up in the early spring, so it wasn't hard to see that something had to be done.
On the afternoon of July the 8th, the dredger bucket had just gobbled up the slime on the bottom of the canal and was breaking through the water when...
Stop! There's someone in the bucket! Stop! Someone's lying in the bucket!
What the hell is it?
It's a body! It's a girl! Get her out! Get her on the bank! Get her out!
Don't touch anything! Don't do anything! Can't you see? She's dead!
Oh, God! Get the police! Someone! Get the police!
The Swedish police.
Well, the Motala police. It's a medium-sized town in the middle of nowhere.
Police Sergeant Albert is used to dealing with drunk and disorderly behaviour, not murders.
Well, Albert, apart from the fact that she's dead and she's naked, there's not much I can say about her. I suggest we get her driven to the mortuary straight away. The dredger bucket's hardly the scene of the crime, is it?
Hardly, Doctor. Poor girl. Would you say she's been strangled?
Looks like it.
Raped?
I should imagine so. But we'll be able to tell you more after the autopsy.
Strangled and raped.
Pretty methodically, too. Are you surprised?
No, not really.
Do you think they'll send people from Stockholm?
Bound to. We're just country policemen. They won't trust us. Bound to send someone, aren't they?
Stockholm.
A city as large as Cardiff, but much more handsome.
And 5 in the morning. It's raining, and Martin Beck...
Detective Inspector Martin Beck, of the newly formed National Homicide Bureau...
...has a taste of lead in his mouth. It's completely light outside, but the daylight in the kitchen is grey and soupy.
Inga, Martin's wife, hasn't turned on the lights. She calls it saving. Martin Beck decides not to say anything. It would only cause an argument. He glances at the half-finished model of the training ship Danmark, which he'd worked on till late the evening before.
More coffee?
Oh, no, thanks.
Where'd you say you got to go?
Down to Motala, a place on the Göta Canal called Platin's Moat.
The girl in the papers. Is it that canal?
That's right.
Why you, Martin? Why does it always have to be you? They've got their own police in Motala, haven't they? Why can't someone else look into it?
Well, they decided they want someone from Stockholm, someone from the Homicide Bureau.
Haven't the Motala police found anything?
Only that the attack was savage and no one knows who she is.
Who will be with you?
Kolberg and Melander. They went yesterday by car.
And you've got to sit all the way on the train.
Yeah.
You really ought to eat before you go.
You know, I can't eat in the morning.
Well, you ought to, you know, especially with your stomach.
I'll be all right.
I've packed your bag.
Thanks.
Take care of your throat. This is a bad time of year. You know what your chest's like?
Yes.
Well, aren't you going to say goodbye to the children?
Look, it's a shame to wake them. And anyway, they know I'm going.
Well, at least remember to have some kind of breakfast and wrap up warm.
As Martin Beck sits on the train, he realises he doesn't really mind leaving home, in spite of the half-finished planking on the model of the training ship Danmark. As he stares at mile after mile of passing pine forest, he thinks about his marriage. There isn't much left of the happy, lively girl he'd fallen in love with, and, despite the children, everything seems to be fairly dull.
What in Sweden we call a contented marriage.
As soon as he realises he's feeling sorry for himself, he takes out his newspaper and tries to concentrate on the news. But as there isn't anything of note, he falls sound asleep until he has to change for Motala.
I'm Beck. Martin Beck, Stockholm Homicide Bureau. How'd you do?
I didn't hear you come in, sorry. Won't you sit down? I'm Albert. Detective Sergeant Albert.
I'm Martin. Call me Martin. Have my colleagues arrived yet? Detective Sergeants Colbert and Melander. They're good men.
Yes.
What are they doing?
No idea. Something I've forgotten, I suspect.
Did they have that we'll settle this thing in a flash look?
Just about.
I see. Cigarette?
Thanks.
You're tired.
Well, my holiday in the archipelago got shot to hell.
Yeah, mine too, I expect. Anyway, how goes it?
Badly. It's been a week and we still don't know any more than the doctor told us right at the beginning.
Which is?
They're put to death by strangulation in conjunction with sexual assault. The killing was brutal with signs of perverse tendencies.
He said put to death. Oh, I say it myself sometimes. We've written too many reports.
Yeah, hell, isn't it? We brought her up 8 days ago and we haven't learned a thing since. No missing girls fit her description. Her photograph's not turned anything up. We don't know who she is. We don't know the scene of the crime. And we have no suspects. We haven't found a single thing that could have any real connection with her.
The Göta Canal, a 100-mile waterway between Stockholm and Gothenburg, and a holiday heaven.
With 58 locks, it's enough to try anyone's patience. Not for nothing do boating couples call it the divorce ditch.
The canal near Motala has half a dozen of them.
What kind of boats go through these locks? Small boats? Pleasure boats? How do you think a body got here?
I don't know. Couldn't have happened during the day. There's always lots of people around. Suppose he could have thrown her in from the pier, or the bank, or most likely he just threw her overboard.
Are there many canal boats?
Some, not many. Most of them are freighters or cruisers. The three big pleasure cruisers, the Juno, the Wilhelm Tarm and the Diana.
Well, we'd better check up on the lot in that case.
Okay, it's quite a mission.
Who on earth is she? All right, she was young, she was pretty. Someone must have loved her. Someone must be wondering where she is. No one's so alone that nobody misses them.
Maybe she said she was going away.
Oh, well, then it'll be a long time before someone wonders where she is. I'll get Colbert to write me a description of her as a human being, not a corpse. You know, something to add to the photo.
You plan to let this one go now you've got to go back to Stockholm?
No.
I'm not either.
Detective Sergeant Colbert is lying on his hotel bed reading the evening paper. He has taken off his shoes and jacket and opened his shirt.
Because Colbert is fat and has a nonchalant, jovial manner, lots of people underestimate him. Detective Inspector Martin Beck never does.
Colbert gets up, goes to a small desk under his hotel window and picks up a piece of paper.
Okay, Martin, here's your report. For the attention of Detective Inspector Martin Beck, the following can be said about the woman who is occupying your thoughts. She was 5 feet 6 inches tall, with grey-blue eyes and dark brown hair. Her teeth were good and she had no operation scars. She weighed about 123 pounds and her shoe size was 7. She had small shoulders and waist with broad hips and a well-developed rear end, thighs heavy and long, legs muscular, slender arms, small hands but long fingers. She had not had a child nor an abortion. She did not smoke. The autopsy showed no trace of sperm. Hope that's what you want, Martin. I'm off to have a huge dinner. See you tomorrow, Leonard Colbert, brackets, Detective Sergeant, close brackets.
I'll try and be back by 6:30.
Do you think we'll get any kind of holiday this year?
I booked that cottage for a week in August in the centre of the archipelago, but I doubt if I'll get there. You can all stay longer if you want.
I suppose we can. It won't be the same without you.
Look, Inga, that girl in the canal, whoever she was, wherever she came from, I'm going to have to find out exactly what happened.
A month goes by, and Martin Beck speaks to Albert every week, but there's still no news.
Albert cancels his holiday, and so does Beck.
How many blanks have you drawn on this one now?
27.
27. Bloody hell. Still, try not to brood about it.
Easier said than done, Colbert. Much easier said than done.
Oh, never mind, Martin. Cheer up. Don't forget, you've got three of the most important virtues a policeman can have.
Oh, yeah?
You're stubborn, you're logical, and though this always pisses me off, you never, ever lose your temper.
Well, I suppose that's something.
Colbert is right. Detective Inspector Martin Beck is always professional, never vindictive or spiteful.
Persistence and empathy are his greatest assets.
That's why we've given him 10 books. He sees murderers as ordinary people who are just more unfortunate and maladjusted than most of us.
And he always tries to see that justice is done.
So, what next? Apart from following up any new reports on missing girls.
Keep on at Interpol and keep trying the various embassies.
They're useless. You remember the time the Americans sent us 3 pages of information about a suspect, but forgot to mention that the man was black.
Let's hope we have better luck this time.
You're completely bunged up, Martin. You can hardly breathe. The National Police will just have to manage without you tomorrow.
I'll be all right.
Oh, don't answer it, please.
Sorry. Hello?
Beck?
Oh, Albert.
I'm sorry to ring you at home. Am I disturbing anything?
No, nothing. Everyone's watching television.
I think I've found something.
You have?
You remember the Canal tourist cruises?
Yes.
Apparently, in the summer, they only go past here during the daytime, so I've been trying to check up on any boats that had to travel during the night. I mean, you wouldn't throw a body overboard in daylight, would you?
And?
One of the boys on the regular police staff suddenly remembered that he saw a passenger boat go past Platon's Moat in the middle of the night sometime last summer.
Why on earth didn't he say something before?
We went on holiday the next day, and after that he forgot.
Forgot? Well, anyway, did he recognise the boat?
No, but I called the shipping office, and they said a boat called the Diana had been held up in July because of the fog. Then a pipe broke in the engine, and by the time it was repaired, they were very late, and they were going past our bit of the canal sometime around midnight.
When did this happen? Which day?
I got hold of the captain. He said it was the second trip after midsummer, the night of July the 4th.
Ah, 4 days before we found her.
Exactly.
Why are you hanging around in the office if you aren't well?
Inger will just make me stay in bed if I'm at home. I sometimes think my being ill's better than a birthday for her.
You sound like shit.
Oh, well, better than at home anyway.
Take a look at this then. I'll cheer you up.
What is it?
The cable from America. Read it.
That's our girl, Rosanna McGraw, 27, librarian. Oh, thank heaven. Exchange of further information necessary as soon as possible. Kafka. Homicide, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Good news, isn't it?
Oh, we'd better speak to him as soon as we can. Kafka it is.
How did you manage it?
Well, it's just routine. Not through Interpol or anything. We just contacted every embassy and sent them that photograph and then kept on ringing to see if they'd got anything on her. The American embassy who came up trumps.
I'll get going on this immediately. If she knew anyone here or stayed in town, I'll know about it in 24 hours and I'll give you a ring.
All right, fine. I'll telephone you as soon as I know anything more. Beck?
The central telephone office has advised us that there's a phone call coming from the United States. Can you take it?
Yes, of course. Put them through.
Hi, Kafka speaking. That's you, Inspector Beck?
Yes. Yes.
You sound like you're dying over there. You got my wire?
Yes, thank you. No, it's nothing. It's just a cold.
It's all clear, isn't it?
So you've absolutely no doubt it's the right woman?
Yeah, that's Rosanna, all right. Gave your photograph to a girlfriend and her ex-boyfriend. Both were absolutely sure.
When did she leave home? Was she alone?
She left the States at the beginning of May, and she was on her own. She sent a postcard to a girlfriend saying she was staying a week in Sweden and then going on to Denmark.
Right, anything more?
She said something about boarding a Swedish ship going on some kind of cruise on a lake. It wasn't very clear. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Did you get the guy?
We haven't got him, no.
I can't hear you.
We haven't got him.
You shot him?
I did what? Oh, no, not shot. This is a terrible line. Can you hear me properly?
Yes, I hear. You shot the bastard. That's great. I'll give it to the papers.
No. No one's shot anyone.
This line sucks, Inspector. Look, I'll mail some stuff to Stockholm. Great work, Martin. Well done.
Well, he's sending us some more information. Apparently she did go on a canal boat. Albert was right. She must have been on the Diana.
I'll get on to the shipping office. They'll give us a list of the crew. With any luck, they'll be able to get us the names of the passengers on that trip as well.
And we better get Melander to check on her with American Express, the post office, banks, telephone company. If she stayed in a hotel, she must have registered, and the National Office for Aliens should have a record of her... Hell of a lot to do.
For heaven's sake, Martin, you sound awful. Go home. We don't all want to catch it. You'd be better off in bed drinking schnapps. Go home. Get some sleep.
Don't like schnapps.
Have some brandy then. Schnapps. Brandy. What's the difference? Anyway, don't worry about Kafka. If he calls, I'll take care of him.
Okay, thanks. Listen, have you got any headache pills?
No. You can have one of my chocolate pralines.
I knew I was right. I had a feeling. How many other passengers were on the list?
68.
Does it have their addresses?
No. Only nationalities. Don't get your hopes up, Albert. It's going to be a bugger of a job to find them all. We've got the names and addresses of the crew, though.
Was she travelling alone?
She had a single cabin, according to the deck plan. It was the one farthest back towards the stern on the middle deck.
That doesn't mean a lot to me. We ought to go and see. I'll find out where the Diana is at the moment.
Well, there are 15 Swedes on the list, 21 Americans, 12 Germans, 4 Danes, 4 Englishmen, 1 Scot, 2 Frenchmen, 2 South Africans, 5 Dutchmen, and 2 Turks. It's going to take a hell of a long time.
Turks? On the Göta Canal?
Yes. Turks. My men have got their hands full tracking everyone down. Listen, I want to go and have a look at the Diana straight away.
The Diana is still in service, and you can still enjoy a wonderful 8-day cruise on the Göta Canal.
Except you have to remember that the weather in Sweden is never exactly Mediterranean.
Let's get inside. This is the port promenade deck. Mind how you go, it's very slippery.
And this is the passenger lounge?
Yes.
How many cabins are there here?
4 off this lounge. We've got more down there and a few upstairs. We sometimes have deck passengers as well, and we let them sleep on the sofas if they want to.
Deck passengers?
Oh, people who come for a short time, maybe overnight or for a couple of days.
And they won't be on the official passenger lists?
No. No need.
I want to see the cabin near the ladder on the middle deck.
The one I showed you on the plan, remember?
Okay. This way. Yeah. Mind how you go. Yes.
Yeah.
How many trips has this boat made since July the 4th?
Plenty. And it's been cleaned every time.
Well, let's see if the technical boys can find anything.
Do you really think she was killed in this cabin?
Where else?
Well, with other people so close, how do you manage to keep her from screaming?
The autopsy suggests she could have got some of the injuries after she was dead.
We still don't really know anything about her. We don't know how she lived, how she behaved, what kind of people she went around with.
I know what you mean.
I can only see one way to find out.
The guy in America, Kafka.
Do you think he's competent?
Difficult to say with a name like that.
Where's your coffee and
the
donut?
Not now, Kolbeg. I've got to listen to these tapes from Kafka.
I'll do it. The forensic guys found some blood in the cabin?
Yeah, on the mattress and the rug. 14 traces. They're still analysing them.
That's all?
A few old fingerprints, not many. They must have cleaned the cabin pretty thoroughly.
I should think so after all this time. Oh, well, what's Melander turned up from the passenger list?
Apparently none of the Danes saw or heard anything unusual, and the Danish report says... there is nothing in any of the testimonies which can shed any light on the case. Their art of deduction is staggering.
Here's to our Danish brothers. What other news have we got?
It's been really slow going. Melander's been on this case for weeks now, and he's only managed to get hold of 2/3 of the people.
That's because he won't get off the lavatory.
Out of 40, we've got examination transcripts of 23, and sadly, no one can remember anything about Rosanna McGraw, except they think they saw her sometime during the trip.
And what's Kafka found?
He sent us these two tapes, these interviews, one with an ex-boyfriend and one with a flatmate.
Useful background?
Can't tell till we've heard them.
Examination of Edgar Mulvaney at the office of the district attorney, Omaha, Nebraska, 11 October 1964. Examining officer, detective, lieutenant Kafka. You are Edgar Mulvaney, 33 years old, living at 12 East Street here in town, and an engineer at the Northern Electric Company in Omaha, is that correct?
That's right.
Now, Edgar, you're not under oath, and your testimony won't be registered with the notary public, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you some very intimate questions. I'm sorry about that.
He's very polite.
Isn't he?
I understand.
Okay, let's go. When did you first get to know Rosanna McGraw?
In November, about 2 years ago.
Where did you meet her?
At the house of someone I work with, Johnny Mattson. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an open house, and he knew her slightly from the library where she worked.
How did you meet her?
We talked for a while, and then we danced.
How many dances did you have?
Just two.
And?
Then I suggested that we leave.
Why?
I noticed that she was getting excited.
Excited? In what way? Sexual?
Of course.
And you, were you sexually excited?
He's not holding back, is he?
Good, that's what we want.
Of course I was excited.
So you went to your apartment or hers?
Hers. We took a taxi.
Did you kiss in the taxi?
Yes. Do I really have to answer this?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
I remember being surprised that her apartment was so nice. She had lots of books.
Did you have intercourse?
Yes.
When?
Almost immediately. Hey, this feels wrong. She's dead. She never did anyone any harm. Is this really necessary?
I'm afraid so. Bet it is. But it's only because we need your help.
Okay.
What did you think of her when you left?
I thought she was some kind of cheap tramp. And I thought she was some kind of nymphomaniac.
Aha!
I don't jump to conclusions.
Did you go on seeing her?
Yes, for about 8 months. I used to call her, and we used to meet once or twice a week, and we slept together.
Have you any idea of how many times you were together?
Yeah, 48 times.
48, exactly.
That's extraordinarily precise.
Every time we slept together, I put a red mark on my office calendar. Just before I threw it away, I counted the days.
Unbelievable.
Would you say her sexual behavior was normal?
She was very sexual. She always had an orgasm. I don't know whether that's normal or not.
Not where I come from, isn't it?
Shush, Colbert.
Do you think she was faithful to you?
I don't know. I really don't know.
From what you've said, I get the impression that she always took the initiative, not you. She was the one who decided even when you'd meet.
That's right.
That could explain a lot.
Certainly could.
Was it hard for you when you broke up?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Very hard. Now, can we turn that thing off?
So, she wasn't averse to sex then?
Clearly not.
Martin Beck thoughtfully dries the perspiration from his forehead and palms with a crumpled handkerchief. Before he turns the tape recorder on again, he goes out to the toilet, washes his face, and drinks a glass of water.
Colbert simply unwraps another bar of chocolate and carries on eating.
Oh, more confessions. Can't wait.
Hello?
Come in, have a seat, Miss Peterson.
Thank you.
Who's this?
Must be the friend.
What's this about?
Just a few questions about Rosanna McGraw.
Well, I told you everything I know. I got a postcard from her from Sweden, and that's all.
Mm-hmm. We just need to fill in some background. It'll help the Swedish police.
Well, we worked at the library together, and then she shared my apartment with me until she got her own place. That's it.
Why'd she move out, Miss Peterson?
I can't see that that's your business.
I've got a police report for April 8, 1962.
And?
It says that at 2 in the morning, there were complaints of screaming, shouting, and continuous noise from your apartment. When officers Flynn and Richardson arrived to investigate, they had to get the superintendent to open the door with his pass key. When they got in, they found you and Miss McGraw inside. Miss McGraw was bleeding from a scratch on her forehead. Neither of you would make a complaint, and the police left the apartment.
And I threw her out the next day. It was my apartment.
Why?
Will what I say remain private?
Apart from the police in Sweden, no one else will know.
Okay, then. I threw her out because she was trash. She embarrassed me.
How?
She was like a bitch on heat. She wanted sex all the time. She even slept with my boyfriend.
Bloody hell.
How did you find out?
Rosanna told me. She always told the truth. She just said, now, Mary Jane, I wanted to do it. And it only proves he isn't worth a bean. I'll say one thing for Rosanna. She was always logical.
Did you stay friends after that?
Yes, oddly enough. We got on much better after she moved out, and we didn't have to see each other all the time at work and at home.
Did she have a boyfriend?
Yeah, she had one, Mulvaney. But Lord knows how often she cheated on him.
Did she bring other men to the apartment?
Yes, frequently.
Were these other men attractive?
Always. She only liked good-looking men. Preferably tall and blonde and rather sexy.
Ah, we've established the Swedish connection.
So everyone in Sweden's glamorous and sexy, are they?
You know, they're cute.
Where do we fit in?
Cute.
Point taken.
How did you feel when you heard she'd been murdered?
Shocked. Upset. But I wasn't terribly surprised.
Why not?
Well, I told you how she lived. She was sexy and she was reckless. I was sad, but I wasn't at all surprised.
And neither am I.
If Miss Peterson was telling the truth, my guess is Rosanna met someone she wanted to sleep with, and by the time she discovered what he was like, it was already too late.
Do we know where it actually happened?
Probably in the cabin Albert and I looked at on the Diana.
But we don't know, do we?
Let's pretend we know. So she was probably killed on the night of July the 4th, after dark, sometime after dinner.
Mm-hmm. What do we know about the killer?
Sadistic. Sexually twisted.
And he was on board the Diana.
So he must be either a passenger or a member of the crew.
Do we really know that?
For argument's sake, we'll say we do. But we don't know what he looks like or his nationality, and we don't have any fingerprints. We don't know if he knew her already, and we don't know how we can find him today.
Wonderful. How could she disappear without anybody noticing?
And the person who killed her must have stayed on board and arranged the cabin to make it look normal. It was only one night before they docked. The autopsy said there wasn't much blood, and whoever killed her could have thrown stuff in the water and got fresh bedding from a supply closet.
Well, what do we know, then?
Right, Melanda, Alberg and the boys have managed to locate all except 11 of the people on board. So now we can rule out all the women, boys under 10, 7 men over 70, and the captain, helmsman and engineer, because they were on watch and can give each other alibis. Apart from the 15 Swedes, there were 53 foreign nationals.
Oh, this is just terrifying. They could be anywhere.
Well, Melanda and the rest will just have to go on getting statements. I wonder...
What?
How many cameras do you think there were on that boat?
30? 40?
Well, think how many photos must have been taken. It's a tourist boat.
And there'd be lots of pictures. We know what Rosanna looked like. She must be on somebody's photo somewhere. Or maybe she spent time with a particular person. Let's see if we can find them. Is there anyone on Melander's list who lives here in Stockholm?
Hang on. Let me look. As a matter of fact, there is. Right round the corner, there's a retired colonel and his wife on North Mellerstrand.
What does Melander say about them?
Nice people.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Let's go and see.
Sure you won't have a drink, gentlemen?
That's very kind of you, sir, but I'm afraid we're on duty.
Ah, you don't mind if I do?
Oh, not at all, sir.
Now, it was photographs of the trip, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid my wife and I don't take pictures anymore. I told you a young man last week.
Oh, well, then I'm sorry to have troubled you a second time.
Well, not at all. You see, we don't take photographs, but Major Jensch, who sat at our table, he took a lot. So I telephoned him and he just sent us some. I was going to give your chap a ring about them.
Oh, that's great.
I wonder if there's any chance we could see them now.
Yeah, of course you can, Yeah. Now, your young man said it was a young lady you were interested in, and he showed me a picture. Am I right?
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid the photographs we got are mostly of us and Major Jensch's wife. Yeah, but there is one of a group. You see, there's Hildegard Jensch and, there's the city tower at Riddleholm. I think that could be your young woman, couldn't it? The one in the yellow dress.
That's her, all right. Attractive, isn't she?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, the young lady sat at our table a few times, but never said anything. And then the waitress moved her to sit with someone who spoke a little English.
Well, why didn't you tell Detective Melander this?
Well, you see, a colleague showed me a picture of her face, but you understand, it wasn't her face that I recognised. It was the dress. Well, not the dress, exactly.
Sir?
Well, it wasn't her dress, Inspector. It was her very low neckline.
How many days is it now?
Since we found that photo, I don't know, about 15.
And how many more photos have we got?
Not enough. I thought we might get a lead with that Turkish medical student.
Why?
Well, according to a statement, he made a pass at her, but she didn't respond.
Well, it's not surprising when you see the photographs he sent.
Why?
Well, no one would call him attractive. Remember what her flatmate said? She only liked good-looking men.
But half an hour later, the bombshell drops.
A cable arrives from the United States.
Struck gold yesterday. 10 rolls, 8mm colour film and 150 stills. A lot of Rosanna McGraw. Unknown character seems to be with her. Pan American guarantees delivery Stockholm Thursday. Kafka.
Martin Beck sits down in his chair. He rubs his forehead and looks at his desk calendar.
It's Wednesday, November 25th. Soon it will begin to get really cold.
There's Rosanna there, look, leaning over the railing.
Must be about 24 hours before she was killed.
Is there any way of getting through all the other stuff till we see her again?
Sorry, not possible. Oh, look, there. She's just crossed the deck. There's someone with her.
He's taller than her. Has he got a sports cap on?
Yeah, and a tweed jacket. He's walking very close.
There they are again, just behind the group. He's helping her go past something. You can see his profile really clearly.
Stop the film!
No, you can't. It'd burn up.
Give us a big close-up, then. Give us a big close-up!
Oh, there they are again. And they're coming closer.
I keep seeing her clearly, but only bits of him.
Oh, wait a minute. She's stopped. She's nodding to him. She's stretching out to him. Oh. Ah, there he is. There.
Yep.
Oh. Well, my bet is he was a deck passenger.
Why?
He only appears in places at the end of the trip. I think he must have come on board late, and that's when he met Rosanna. He won't be on any list because he's only a deck passenger.
You could be right, Albert. Let's run it through again and check.
Well, it doesn't seem much to me. If he's not on any list, how can we trace him?
I'm not sure yet.
The tourist's film shows midsummer, but by now it's late November and the first snow of winter is beginning to fall.
It's so dark in the office that Martin Beck has to turn on his reading light, even though it's 12 noon. He puts out his last cigarette, lifts up the ashtray, and blows the ashes from the top of his desk.
Weeks have passed since they've seen Kafka's film, and they're still waiting for something to happen. Albert and his staff have examined all the witnesses very carefully and with a great deal of energy, but the results are meagre.
Detective Inspector Martin Beck is sitting in his nice new Riverside office, racking his brains for anything they can do next.
Look, we've got these enlargements made.
What's this?
A blow-up from a group photo.
Well, at least they've got a couple of things in common.
Yeah?
They're both of that tall bloke in his sports cap and tweed jacket, and they are both of appalling quality.
Well, nevertheless, they've been sent out everywhere. They'll be in every public prosecutor's office and every police station in Sweden and a few other countries as well.
Still, anybody who really knows him ought to recognise him, I suppose. So, now where?
Well, the Colonel said Rosanna was moved to a table with someone who spoke some English. It's an outside chance, but I wondered if one of the waiting staff might recognise her or even him.
Mm-hmm. So,
I got Melander to request the lists of the canal boat's personnel for the last 5 years, and there's a waitress who's worked on the Diana several times and on the Juno as well. She's employed at a restaurant in Stockholm at the moment, as a matter of fact.
I met lots of people on those boats.
I know, but there's a chance you might be able to clear something up for us.
I don't think I've ever seen this girl. No, I know I haven't.
What about him?
Yeah. Strangely, I do recognise him.
Oh, good.
I don't know his name, but I do remember he travelled on the Juno and the Diana several times.
Are you certain? And they're not very good pictures.
Yeah, I'm certain. He always wore that jacket and that cap.
Do you remember if you saw him this summer? You were on the Juno then, weren't you?
Oh, I see so many people. I don't think so. But I know I definitely saw him on the Diana 2 summers ago because a girl I worked with was very taken with him. She used to meet him sometimes when we went off duty. We weren't supposed to, of course, but that's why I remember him.
Can you describe him?
He was really attractive. He was tall, very blonde, ash blonde. He had nice teeth, definitely good looking. About 35 or 40.
And are you still in touch with your friend? Could you put us in touch with her?
She wasn't exactly a friend. We only worked together. She was called Corinne Larson. I know she lived in Växjö.
Can you remember anything about their relationship?
Well, we weren't that close. But I remember she said he was very polite and well-mannered and she seemed very keen on him and really ran after him.
But
she suddenly stopped talking about him and she got a bit strange and then she left and they said she'd gone into hospital. I haven't seen her since. Someone I know tried to get in touch with her in Växjö quite recently, but her flatmate said she'd just gone away and nobody knew where. I don't know who'd find her. She just kind of vanished.
You said she'd been in hospital?
Yeah.
Do you know which one?
I suppose it'd be one in Växjö near where she lived. But really, I've got no idea.
Look, we really want to get hold of the man in the photo. Do you remember if she said or did anything unusual when she was seeing him?
Not really. I remember thinking she wasn't particularly happy, and if she was in love, she should have seemed happy.
And?
Well, she seemed a bit nervous and frightened, and then one morning she just didn't show up and had to work on my own until they found a replacement. Anyway, she didn't come back, and I haven't seen her since.
These are the records you wanted, Inspector. Corinne Elizabeth Larson, isn't it?
That's right, Doctor.
I remember she came in here on her own about 2 years ago. I was just about to go home and I had to stay on late to examine her. She wouldn't tell me what happened, but I remember she was bleeding very heavily and was in a pretty poor state. Not dangerous, but she'd lost a lot of blood. She was in a lot of pain.
And what do you think had happened?
She had wounds at the mouth of the uterus and on the back walls of the vagina, which must have been made by a hard, sharp object. Probably a broken bottle. She couldn't possibly have done it herself.
Is that what she said? That she'd done it herself?
Yes. I didn't believe her, and she knew I didn't, but she just kept repeating, "I did it myself." She wasn't pregnant, so it couldn't have been an attempted abortion.
What do you think had really happened?
It must have been some kind of sexual attack. I know it sounds crazy, but I felt sure she was trying to protect someone. We kept her in hospital as long as we could, but in the end we had to let her go home. I reported it to the police, but nothing happened.
Anything else on her records?
Yes. Apparently she'd been in about 8 months before with a couple of broken fingers. They'd been forced backwards. She said she'd fallen downstairs, but the doctor who treated her said that really wasn't at all likely.
How do you think she seemed in general?
She was very frightened. I'd have said she was frightened to death, as a matter of fact.
Not what you might call a major breakthrough, but certainly a wake-up call.
By now, the Stockholm pavements are dirty with trampled snow.
And the Göta Canal, where Rosanna's body had lain 5 long months ago, is hard ice.
Martin Beck, Kolber and Albert have followed every lead they can think of.
Still, nothing seems to be happening.
Until a chance encounter in a small Stockholm cafe.
Martin, I think we've had a break at last.
Tell me what it is. Make my day.
You know that lad Stenstrom?
Mm. Patrolman, mm-hmm. Eager Beaver.
Yes, well, he's just telephoned in to say he is sure he's seen our man. He recognised him from the photograph in the station house, and he is positive it's the man in the tourist film.
Is Stenstrom reliable?
Yes, he's a good lad.
Where did he say he saw him?
In a cafe on Norrlandsgården.
What was he doing?
Getting a cup of coffee, apparently.
So what did Stenstrom do?
He followed him and found out he works for the Ericsson Moving Company just off Stureplan.
I want you to go there. Have a look at him. If it's really our man, I want him photographed and followed.
Taking a bit of a chance, aren't you?
Well, maybe, but you think you and Stenstrom can manage the surveillance together?
Well, yeah, but even if it is him, it's still a bit of a long shot. We've got no real proof. Just being with Rosanna in the film doesn't make him a murderer.
Well, it's the only lead we've got. If nothing happens, we'll give it a fortnight, then we'll pull him in.
December 1964, the suspect Volker Bengtsson has now been observed 24 hours a day for 2 weeks by myself, Detective Sergeant Kolber, and Detective Stenstrom. Bengtsson lives alone in a second floor apartment on Rorstandsgården and is employed by the J.A. Ericsson Moving Company. Every weekday he walks to work, arriving at 8 o'clock. He goes out for coffee at 10 o'clock and lunch at 12 o'clock. He returns home at 5. 8 evenings out of 14, he's watched television at home. On Wednesdays, he goes to the cinema. On Tuesdays, he goes bowling. On Sundays, he goes to the stadium to watch ice hockey. Sweden v Finland last week. It was a lousy match. Finland won. He doesn't look at girls on the street. He doesn't buy newspapers. He owns a motorbike. And he is on good terms, but not friendly, with his neighbours.
Okay. What's he really like?
How the hell should I know?
Well, you and Stenstrom followed him long enough.
He seems healthy, calm, strong, and very, very dull. I can't help feeling we could go on like this till his holiday next summer.
Possibly.
Look, Martin, I don't see how we can afford this kind of surveillance. He's certainly the guy on the boat, but he's not doing anything really odd, except for the fact that he never sees anyone outside work.
Okay. Well, if following him hasn't turned anything up, we'll have to bring him in and ask him a few questions.
Softline?
Definitely. Thank you very much for coming in, Mr. Bengtsson. I'm Detective Inspector Martin Beck, and this is Detective Sergeant Kolber. He'll sit in on our conversation, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you know why we've asked you to come here?
As a matter of fact, no.
It's just possible you can help us with something.
Really?
Yes. Now, can you tell us where you were during the first week in July this summer? Do you remember?
Of course. We get 4 weeks holiday straight after midsummer. I spent the first week at Mem, where the Göta Canal begins, and then I went on to Bohuslän.
Did you go by boat from Mem?
Yes.
Which boat did you go on?
The Diana, I think.
And which day did you travel?
I don't remember exactly. One of the first days in July.
Did anything special happen during the trip?
Not that I can remember.
Are you sure?
The boat was delayed with engine trouble, but that was before I went on board.
I'm going to show you three photographs, and I want you to tell me if you recognise the young woman in them.
She looks familiar. Who is she?
She was on board the Diana.
I think I remember. I'm not sure. What was her name?
Rosanna McGraw. She was an American.
That's right. I remember. The waitress moved her to my table and I tried to talk to her a few times, as well as I could. I wanted to practice my English.
And you haven't seen or heard her name since then?
No.
Don't you know Rosanna McGraw was murdered during that trip? Well?
No, I didn't.
It seems strange that you haven't heard anything about it.
Well, I haven't.
To be blunt, I don't believe you.
I don't read any newspapers.
But it was on the radio and on television. This photograph was shown on Actuelt several times. Don't you have a television?
Of course, but I only watch nature programmes and films, not the news.
Well, it still seems very strange to me that you haven't heard anything in spite of everything that's been reported about this case.
If I had, I'd have contacted the police.
Ah, voluntarily.
As a witness to say I'd met her. Where was she killed? In Gothenburg?
No, in her cabin. While you were on the boat.
How did you know I was on board?
Someone recognised you, and so far you are the only person we found who actually spoke to her. Do you remember what you talked about?
Not really. My English isn't very good. I remember she said she worked in a library. I think she said she was from Nevada.
Were you together a lot?
Not really.
Do you know if she was travelling alone?
I really don't know.
Did you ever go to her cabin?
No, I didn't.
As I said before, you are the only person we know who remembers talking to her.
Yes.
And what if I told you we know for a fact that you were inside that cabin? What would you say?
I'd say you must be wrong. But you wouldn't say that if you weren't certain, would you?
No.
Maybe I was there without knowing what I was doing.
Do you usually know what you're doing?
Yes, I usually do. I wasn't there, you know.
Well, this case is very puzzling. You do understand that, don't you?
Yes.
Are you married?
No.
Do you use prostitutes? Are you in a relationship?
No, I don't. And I'm not in a relationship anymore.
Could you give us the name of any woman you've been with for any length of time?
Maybe I can, but I don't choose to.
It'd be best if you named somebody.
Look, the person I had the most lasting relationship with is now married, and I'd rather you didn't contact her.
Well, it'd still be best. We'd be very discreet. No one need know.
Promise me you can guarantee that.
I promise.
Okay. I don't like doing this. Her name is Siv Lindberg. Her husband's an engineer, and they live in Bodal. But I haven't seen her for a couple of years. I think they have a baby now.
Thank you. I'm sorry to have to ask these kind of questions, but unfortunately it's part of my job. Do you want to ask anything, Sergeant Colbert?
No, not at the moment, Inspector.
Thank you very much for coming in to see us, Mr. Bankson. Well, goodbye, and thank you.
Goodbye, Inspector.
Okay, turn the tape off, Colbert.
Well, that was quite something. What do you make of him? Should we carry on watching?
Like you said, we can't afford it.
He seemed a pretty cool customer. Do you think he did it?
Yes, I'm sure he did. May I sit down, Mrs. Lindberg?
Yes. Yes, of course. Please. How can I help you, Inspector?
I'd like you to look at this photo and tell me if you recognise this man.
It's Volker Bengtsson, isn't it?
Yes. How well would you say you knew him?
I was very friendly with him a few years ago. But I've never told my husband anything about him. I've been married 2 years now. We have a baby.
There's no need for your husband to know about this interview, Mrs. Lindberg. It's just that we're interested in Mr. Bengtsson as a witness. And I believe that you knew him well at one time.
I see.
Where did you meet him?
At work, at Ericsson's moving company.
And you had a relationship with him?
Yes, for about a year.
Forgive me, Mrs. Lindberg, but did you have intimate relations?
Yes. Yes, we did, but not particularly often.
And I wonder, was he brutal to you? Did he ever hit you?
No, never. He was very tender.
And why did you stop?
I don't know. It just ended.
When you had intimate relations, was it always Bengtsson who took the initiative?
Yes.
How many times would you say you slept with him?
About 5 times. No more, only 5.
Well, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for having to ask these things.
Please forgive me too. I'm very shy. So was he.
Martin Beck, Detective Inspector of the 9th grade, walks backwards and forwards in the slush on the platform while he waits for the train. He keeps his hands in his pockets and hunches his shoulders against the wind blowing in from Russia. He is whistling absent-mindedly and off-key.
Finally, he knows what he's going to do.
Where will you get the woman from?
Someone on the force. Apparently there's a policewoman who's worked at Bergskorten for several years who looks a bit like the photograph of Rosanna, and I think we can borrow her. She's coming in tomorrow morning.
What's her name?
Sonia Hansen. Constable Sonia Hansen.
And then what'll you do?
Put out a misleading press release. We need Bengtsson to think he's no longer a suspect.
Have you heard any more from America?
Yes, we got a cable just this morning.
What did it say?
3 words. Set a trap.
The press release reads, "As the result of a long search by the Swedish Homicide Bureau and by Interpol, a man has been arrested in the United States in connection with the murder of Rosanna McGraw in July last year."
The police have suspected all along that the murderer was not in Sweden.
Well, you certainly look rather like her. How old are you?
25.
Listen, Sonia, I want you to understand that this is purely voluntary. You can say no if you want to, but we're asking you to take on this because, well, you've got the best qualifications. You look quite like her, you live in the middle of Stockholm, and you're not married or living with a partner.
You know, I worked on her case for a bit last summer. I'd like to be able to help.
We know who did it, and we know he's here in the city, but we can't hold him, and we've had to stop tailing him. So our only chance is that he'll do it again, and for that we need someone to act as a decoy.
How?
Well, you'll have to approach him at his work. It's a removal company. Try and flirt with him and make absolutely sure he gets your name and address. We'll be watching you both all the time, so you needn't be afraid. I want you to read everything we've got on Rosanna. Look at the film of her. Try to behave just like her. Dress like her if you can. Look provocative. He needs a bit of a shove, and we've got to provide it.
All right, I'll try.
Now, we'll arrange for you to be relieved of your other work, and we'll have to have access to your apartment and make duplicate keys. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. You think you can cope?
Yes, I'm sure I can.
Good. Well, then, we'll start immediately after the new year.
It's a grey Christmas.
The man called Volker Bengtsson spends it quietly at his mother's house in Södertälje. Martin Beck can't stop thinking about him, even during the Christmas church service, and while he is sweating under his Father Christmas mask on Christmas Day.
The newspapers point out that the canal murder is almost cleared up, and the Swedish police no longer have any reason to bother with the case. And there's the traditional New Year's murder in Gothenburg, which is solved within 24 hours.
Sonia Hansen reads her way conscientiously through the case material and sorts out her most provocative clothes.
Olber telephones the day after Christmas and is clearly very drunk. Kolba eats too much as usual and spends 3 days in hospital.
January the 7th arrives, the day after Twelfth Night, the day Sweden goes back to work. The streets are full of grey, frozen people without money. The sales have begun, but even so, the stores are nearly empty. January the 7th is cold and grey. January the 7th is D-Day.
I think it went well. I went to the Ericsson Moving Company to ask them to move a bureau for me, and they're delivering it to my flat tomorrow.
Did you see him? What did he think of you?
I don't know. I gave him my address and telephone number and said it'd be best to ring ahead. I'd open my coat so he could see I was wearing a tight sweater, and I said the bureau could always be delivered in the evening as I'd be sure to be in.
Good. And what did you make of him?
To be honest, I thought he seemed rather nice. Very attractive. I can't believe he's a murderer. Are you sure he's the right guy?
Oh, I'm sure. Look, I thought we'd better have a rehearsal this evening.
Okay.
We'll get Colbert to pretend to be Bengtsson and telephone you to say he's coming round. Then you call me here at the station. We'll have a special emergency phone line just for you, and Albert and I'll get to your apartment as fast as we can.
I know Inspector Colbert, but who's Albert?
The detective from Motala, where Rosanna's body was found. He's the only one Bengtsson hasn't met before, so he won't recognise Albert if he follows him.
Okay.
He'll have a duplicate key to the apartment block, so he can go in and out of the front door, and Bengtsson will think he lives there.
January 9th, 1965. That evening, the rehearsal goes well. The bureau is delivered. It's the wrong one. But the correct one arrives the following day, and Constable Sonja Hansson makes her next move.
Hello. I was just passing. I thought I'd call in to thank you for all your help. I'm sorry to have caused so much trouble.
It was no trouble at all. It was our mistake.
I'm glad Christmas is over, aren't you?
Yes.
When you're alone like me, it's really rather sad, isn't it? Mm.
I usually go to my mother's, but all the same, it's pretty dismal.
Look, I've only just moved and I'm still collecting bits and pieces, and I wondered if you'd be interested in helping me out.
Of course, if we can.
Maybe you could come over and have a look at my room sometime, just to make sure things would fit in. I've got rather a lot.
When you know what you want to move, just ring and we'll try and come over to measure up the space.
I'd like that. It'd be really great if you could come.
The electric clock on the wall of the police station ticks away another 3 nights.
Absolutely nothing happens. Beck stares at his phone, which never rings.
It's been 3 weeks now, and Bengtsson hasn't done a thing except drink his buttermilk and go to work. He seems to be supremely boring.
Well, we have to keep up the surveillance. It's the only chance we've got.
It's pretty slim, though, isn't it? Sonja Hansson says most men would have been sitting outside her door howling like wolves by now. How's Albert getting on?
Watching, hanging around, getting bored with surveillance. So Stenstrom, so am I.
Tell me about it. Martin Beck's office, Colbert here.
Oh, talk of the devil, it's Albert.
What's he say?
Bengtsson's standing right outside her apartment block. Albert's in there with her.
So what's he been doing?
Walking up and down the street, looking up at your window.
Did he see any of you?
Only me, and he's never seen me before. Probably thinks I live in the block as I've got keys.
Do you think he's been here before? Maybe he's been here every night.
I think we'd have seen him. Stenstrom's been following him as well.
How many times has he been round the square now?
8. And each time he goes faster.
Are you sure he can't see us?
Absolutely sure.
Look, he's going to the trolley stop.
So he is. I think he's decided to go home.
What do you think?
Nothing's happened, Martin. We can't prove anything. Even I've roamed around like an alley cat outside girls' houses. It doesn't prove anything, does it? I was a lot younger then, of course. Well before I was married.
No, you're absolutely right. We need to speed things up somehow. Sonja?
He's outside again.
We're on our way.
I got here just before you did. I made sure he didn't see me unlocking the main front door.
I'm sure he didn't see us. We came in the back.
How long do you think he's been here this time?
Too long.
He's been walking around ever since I rang you.
This could go on forever, you know. Him stalking, Stenstrom and Albert following him, and Sonia having to ring us.
I think we're going to have to push him a bit further, then.
If we don't, we'll all go mad.
Do you think you're up to it, Sonia?
What do you want me to do?
When he leaves the office tomorrow, I want you to rush past him as if you're going somewhere. Take hold of his arm and say something, and then rush off. Leave your coat open, wear something tight.
Not very subtle.
We haven't got any time to be subtle.
All that Saturday morning, Beck sits in his office staring at his phone. It's black. Colbert plays chess against himself.
Beck has assigned Olbert to watch the suspect's workplace all morning. Stenstrom's been covering the nights. Olbert sits in a cafe opposite the removal company doing the crossword, watching the snow fall.
At 5 to 12, he sees Sonia arrive on the street corner.
At midday, all the workers leave the office. Bengtsson is the last to leave. As he locks up...
Hi!
Oh, hello!
Fancy bumping into you. Remember me? The wrong bureau?
Yes.
Why haven't I heard from you? You said you'd come round to measure the apartment to see if the other furniture would fit.
Sorry, I've been waiting for you to contact us. Anyway, I've been rather busy.
I'm sorry too. I was looking forward to it. Look, I must dash. Keep in touch. Promise. It'd be really good to see you again.
Can you hear me?
Where are you?
In a phone box in a tobacco shop on Storthaget. Sonia was great. She's really stirred him up. He's beginning to behave very oddly. He started to walk sort of restlessly, but I can't work out where he's going. I followed him right through the centre of the town. Now he's going round all the old streets on Gamla Stan.
Well, be careful. He mustn't spot you.
No problem. He's walking like a zombie. I've got to go now. I don't want to lose him.
Good luck.
She's got a really nasty job, you know, Martin.
She'll be okay. I'm sure she'll be all right.
He went into a restaurant on Kungsgården for a while, and now he's sitting alone in a bar on Rosengården drinking beer. We've walked all round Gamla Stan, up and down Norrmalm and the entire length of Vasastan. He still seems very strange. I'm at Engelbrecht Square now. He's walking pretty fast. I thought he was going home, but he still keeps going. He doesn't seem to realise he's got feet. Mine won't hold up much longer, I tell you. I'm near the observatory. He's been walking west, but now he's turned back east towards her part of the city. He seems really different suddenly.
In what way?
Well, it's as if he's come to life, as if he's driven. He's looking at girls now.
All right, take it easy. Make sure you stay with him. Don't let him see you.
That's the 10th time he's called today.
Inspector Beck.
Shh, shh.
It's not Albert, it's Sonia.
He's outside again.
Don't worry. Albert's following him. He'll be with you immediately. We're on our way.
I'm in the lobby of the Ambassador Hotel. I've lost him. Somewhere outside here in the crowd, about 4 minutes ago.
Oh, hell. Benson's already outside her apartment. Get over there now. She needs someone with her.
Albert?
Yes?
I'm coming. Thank God you're here at last. Come in. God, it's you.
Yes, it's me. Come on upstairs.
Yeah.
Why's the safety chain on?
Here's Albert.
Where the hell have you been? You should be inside.
Move away. Stand back.
Oh my God!
Get him off her! Get him off her! Bastard!
Grab him! Come on!
Grab him! Get his arms behind his back!
You shit!
It's all right. It's all right, Sonia. We've got him now.
Let's cover you up.
Okay. I'm okay.
Okay, get him out of here. The backup boys are downstairs. I'll see you at the station.
Here's a blanket, Sonia. Wrap it round you.
The ambulance is here. They'll be right up. I'm sorry, Sonia. What can I say?
I can walk by myself. I'm okay.
I'm so sorry, Hell. I am so sorry.
It wasn't your fault. I should have checked before opening the door. There's nothing seriously wrong with me.
But it's
just
my...
forced me down. I knelt on top of me and went for my throat. I didn't have a chance.
Oh, God, it's awful. I feel awful.
Don't talk anymore. You need to get over the shock. The paramedics will be here soon. We'll get you to hospital.
I really don't need it.
Just take it steadily, Sonia.
I'm all right. But him, the poor man.
What do you mean, poor man? What? Bengtsson?
Yes, Bengtsson.
Why?
He just went mad.
I haven't murdered anyone.
Speak up.
I haven't murdered anyone.
We have evidence you were with Rosanna McGraw on the night of July the 4th. You killed her in her cabin and you threw her body overboard.
That's not true.
You killed her in the same way you tried to kill the woman last night.
What woman?
The one we found you trying to strangle, remember?
I didn't want to kill her.
Who didn't you want to kill?
That girl. She came after me several times. She asked me to come to her apartment. I know she didn't mean it seriously. She only wanted to humiliate me.
Did Rosanna McGraw also want to humiliate you?
I don't know.
Were you inside her cabin?
I don't remember. Maybe I was. I don't know.
When you saw the woman last night, did she remind you of the woman last summer? The woman on the boat, Rosanna McGraw?
The woman on the boat? The woman in the apartment? They aren't proper women.
What do you mean? Of course they're women.
They're like animals.
I don't understand what you mean.
Like animals. They're disgusting, repulsive, given over to...
To what? To you?
Don't try to make fun of me. They were given over to their lust, to their shamelessness. Don't you see what they do?
No. What do you mean?
They're disgusting.
What did Rosanna McGraw do?
She forced herself on me. She talked and laughed. Shameless. You don't understand.
I'm trying to. Are you religious?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Do you read religious books or magazines? Have you read the Bible?
I don't like the Bible.
Why?
All the dirtiness.
And you think women like Rosanna McGraw are dirty? And you don't want to have anything to do with dirty people?
No, I don't.
But you're attracted to women like this. You want to look at them and touch them and feel their bodies, feel their skin, take their clothes off, see them naked, make them touch you.
Be quiet.
Why? There's nothing unusual about that. There's nothing abnormal.
Are you saying I'm not normal? I have a right to my own feelings, my own life.
But not to the lives of others. Last night I saw with my own eyes how you nearly killed another human being. You tried to kill her.
She deserved it. It was her fault, not mine.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Will you repeat what you said? You said you only buy magazines about sports and fishing, but you also buy magazines with pictures of naked women in them.
I don't.
There are over 100 in your closet.
How do you know that?
We've had men searching your apartment. They also found a pair of sunglasses belonging to Rosanna McGraw.
You've broken into my home? You've violated my private life?
It's not forbidden to look at pictures. The women in these magazines, they're like any other women, like Rosanna McGraw, like Siv Lindberg, even.
You've no right to mention that name.
What if I told you Siv Lindberg has been photographed naked in magazines?
You're lying.
What would you do?
But I'd punish her. I'd punish any of them.
How punish? You mean you'd kill them?
Yes.
Why? You had magazines of naked women in your apartment and you cut them up. Why?
It's none of your business.
You killed the woman on the boat, didn't you?
No.
I'll help you remember, shall I? The cabin was small and narrow. It was poorly lit. You were in the cabin and you took off her clothes.
She did that herself. She began to undress. She was disgusting. She was shameless. I had to punish her.
You killed her, didn't you?
Yes, I had to. She deserved it. I had to kill her. She was guilty. She deserved it.
So what did you do then? Did you leave the cabin?
Don't keep asking me. It wasn't my fault. It was her fault.
I know that you killed her. You said you did it. And what did you do with her afterwards?
I couldn't stand to look at her. I threw her in the lake. She was naked.
I couldn't stand to look at her. I couldn't stand looking at her.
All right, that's enough. Turn the tape off. Thank you, Mr. Bengtson. Can take him away now, officer. Oh. Is that good enough?
Yes.
I suppose so.
Well, I don't know about you, but I need a cigarette. What time is it?
2 o'clock.
Right, time to go home then. I've wrapped it up. That's it. I'm exhausted. What about you?
Absolutely blasted, worn out, and hungry.
So, Rosanna McGraw came to have a holiday in Sweden, and if the canal boat hadn't had engine trouble, and if the waitress hadn't moved her to another table, she wouldn't have met Folker Bengtsson.
And he wouldn't have killed her, and it wouldn't have taken us from July to January to find him out.
Yes. But the way we did it can never be made public, can it?
No, it can't.
I won't forget this case. But I can't say I'm proud of it.
Come on. Cheer up. It's over. Just one more cigarette and let's go home.
By the time they leave the police station, the ground is covered with a blanket of snow several inches thick. The flakes are large and wet. They dip down in listless swirls. The real winter has arrived.
Round-shouldered and whistling, Martin Beck, detective inspector of the ninth grade, walks alone through the white mist to the subway station, snow squeaking underfoot.
He is on his way home.
In Rosanna, by Mai Huervel and Paavo Lehr, Martin Beck was played by Stephen McIntosh and Lennart Colbert by Neil Pearson. Albert was Jonathan Tafler. Bengtsson, John Mackay. Kafka, Garrick Hagen. And Inger Beck, Lucy Black. Miss Yerta was played by Jenny Harold. Miss Paterson and Siv Lindbear by Amaka Okafor. And Sonia Hansen by Susie Riddell. Mulvaney was played by Harry Livingston. The Doctor by Christine Absalom, the Police Doctor by Patrick Brennan, and the Colonel by Robert Blythe. The man from the shipping office was Sam Alexander, and other parts were played by Joe Sims. The narrators were Leslie Sharp and Nicholas Gleaves. Rosanna was translated from the Swedish by Lois Roth and dramatised for radio by Jennifer Howarth. The director was Sara Davis.